Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, ready for another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast here. This is now end of week 10, heading into week 11, Monday morning, Monday night football still to come, Broncos and Bills. But lots going on, midseason, lots of issues, not the worst injury week, but then again, there's always so much to talk about. No huge big name injuries, but a lot of other issues, including quarterbacks and who's coming back, etc. Some fun topics here, but Jacob's joining me. Taylor's in the wings here doing some other work. He might shout in.
He can't help himself, you know that.
Yeah, he probably will. I'm surprised we got the mic away from him today. No, just kidding. He's working here in the office. He's trying to ignore us now. He says he is ignoring us. All right. Where do you want to go this week? Jacob, take it away.
Jam-packed show today. We got a Monday night guarantee a little bit later on. Got a midseason futures update. But want to start with some quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson kind of had an insane game. Left a mild high ankle, you saw by video, right before the end of the first half. Wasn't sure he's going to come out in the second half. Second half, he's 14 of 14, 137 yards and a touchdown, two runs for 19 yards, including one to set up the game-winning field goal. Kind of incredible that he gutted that through and was able to be so effective against that Ravens defense.
Yeah, no question. Well, I'm interested to hear about the guarantee. Obviously, we just do the medical work and the field views and the scores. I know you guys said the guarantee last week paid off, quote, guarantee. So, yeah, go do it again later. Little bit, you know, we didn't have the 16-5-1 week this week, or you guys didn't, but still net ahead in the last couple weeks here, doing well. Anyways, Deshaun Watson, looking at those numbers, it's like the opposite. Very clearly by video from the war room, it was a left high ankle sprain, admittedly on the milder side, and you saw him hopping around. And we even said that, you know, there's no guarantee that he can finish the game. But not all high ankle sprains are severe. Remember Patrick Mahomes last year against Jacksonville in the playoffs, and then subsequently all the way through the Super Bowl, there was some question. But we always thought he would make it through based on his play. And maybe it's time to reevaluate Deshaun Watson and what he can do. I mean, he's gotten a lot of, guaranteed contract hate, you know, but got to hand it to him, and he's almost to a beast of the week candidate status. He's in a walking boot now, MRI pending.
Right.
Kevin Stefanski does not guarantee that he'll play next week, although Deshaun Watson says he will. And we saw him limping and hopping around, yet you just stated the numbers way better after the injury than before.
6 of 20 in the first half and then didn't miss a pass in the second half. It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any explanation of that. The injury is what it is. It's significant, and he played through. So hopefully this erases some of the previous thoughts of, oh, he's got a guaranteed contract, so he doesn't want to play. He certainly played through this injury. You ever, I don't know, I hate to compare golf to football, all right? But sometimes when you have an injury, let's say in golf, not that I golf that much, but it's almost like it allows you to slow down your swing and concentrate on the mechanics and stuff rather than trying to hit the ball 300 yards. Not that I really could, but and it sort of controls things. And I don't know, maybe this would happen to Sean. Like, he knew he wasn't that mobile. He focused on getting ball out and getting the right reads. And he did have a key run, limping all the way, but a key run. So kudos to Deshaun Watson. I think the MRI is going to show it's a high ankle. I don't know if he got a injection. He went into the blue tent. He
did,
went in.
He did go in the locker room early. That's why PJ Walker was out there for one throw just before half.
Yeah, and sometimes you can have an injection, whether Toradol or pain-killing injection, and make it through the boot. The key is he out of the boot the next time we see him? It's precautionary often to put him immediately into a boot. What I used to tell players is, they're like, well, I finished the game, I don't need a boot. Well, if you come in tomorrow morning carrying the boot in your hand without a limp, I won't be mad at you. But for right now, you're going in home. A boot. You're taking it home, right? Now, if you're limping, you better stay in the boot and let the overnight swelling declare itself. And that's kind of what happens with a high ankle. It doesn't swell as much. You know, everyone's probably rolled their ankle playing basketball or hiking or something, and it blows up really quick like a balloon. High ankle doesn't swell up that quickly, but overnight it can get quite stiff. So that'll be key. And I think Kevin Stefanski is being correct. Let's see what the MRI shows. There's no guarantee for next week. Of course, Deshaun Watson is saying there's a guarantee for next week. They play Pittsburgh.
Yeah, big matchup against Steelers. That whole division gets tighter and tighter every week somehow. I don't get it.
That whole division, if I'm not mistaken,
can make playoffs.
Well, I think Cincinnati's the one that actually dropped out of playoff position, but they all have winning records. Previous to this week, the entire division was making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? With three wild cards and the division winner. Now, I think Cincinnati has dropped below the Mendoza line with their upset loss to the Texans, but they still all have winning records, and it's an AFC North week, week 11. Cleveland plays Pittsburgh, and the Ravens and Bengals play each other.
Yep,
on Thursday, on a short week. And I think I'm sure we'll get to it because there's some injuries already to discuss there.
Yeah, I got that one next. Just want to talk Kyler Murray real quick. 19 of 32 in his game, Doc.
Well, we've been saying all along that he's not 100%, no possible way. And we did give him a 6 score of 71. And I don't know how many fantasy points he scored, but I'd have to say that he outperformed the 71. And I was very impressed with Kyler. He's still not 100%. We'll talk about why. But I think I shortchanged Kyler a little bit. I haven't seen him in a while. And to know how just bottom line athletic and dynamic he is. He is one of the special ones. And you could tell he wasn't 100%, but still he's good enough to be special and was pretty mobile, even though you could see that he didn't really want to stick that right leg in the ground.
Right, and mobile one way, and teams haven't figured out that he can't cut on the right side yet in just 1 week.
Then,
so.
And then, you know, stopping, it's like he's got bad brakes.
Yeah. I mean,
he pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter as he tries to slow down at the end of plays. But he did well. And the most impressive thing maybe, you know, I've been saying how hard it is to get into regular season form with limited practice of the regular season. There aren't enough reps. And it's a new coach, new system. Yet he did pretty well. He outperformed a little bit.
17.3 fantasy points.
Okay. What is he normally at?
19.7 is what he averaged for his career.
19.7. So we're, you know,
slower.
So
the rushing touchdown helps. Rush. Yeah.
So yeah, the rushing touchdown helped this fantasy. Right. But so without the rushing touchdown, we would have been about right or maybe over on the 71. With the rushing touchdown, it pushes him into the 80s. And so that's what we do with 6 score, which is, you know, a rough estimate percentage wise of their health. And I think we hit Kyler a little more because we didn't think he'd run as much as he did. He did get the rushing touchdown, and that sort of made the 71 probably a little lower than it should have been, pushed it into the low 80s maybe. But I think we're going to raise him a little bit this week. We're going to look at some film and look, but he's not going to be in the 90s. That I can tell you. He's likely high 70s, low 80s right now, but we're going to look at film and see what happens and see how his knee reacts. But good job. Kudos to him. And, you know, I'm sure he impressed the Cardinals organization and the new coaching staff.
Yeah, no, it was impressive ability to find the tight end, too. I think that's kind of the knock on Kyler is he's always trying to make plays, scramble, and looking deep. But Trey McBride had a huge day because he's feeding that rookie tight or second-year tight end over the middle with Zach Ertz out. So
let me tell you, I think Zach Ertz's days are numbered. I love Zach Ertz, but McBride is taking over that job. Even
like
when
three straight weeks.
Ertz comes back. I mean, contract-wise and others, and I know Ertz has injuries. But The only thing my only beef with Kyler Murray is I didn't make his hype video.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey included you, but not Kyler.
Jalen Ramsey included me twice. No royalties. NIL, do I get something? No, it's all good. And actually, if you look or listen to Jalen Ramsey, how did he do this week?
I don't even know. Pretty good, because he was on a bye. So he
They had to bye this week. Yeah, that's why I forgot about Jalen Ramsey coming back from the overseas game. No, I know there was this quote controversy, like I was dogging Jalen Ramsey. But if you go to listen to Jalen Ramsey's hype video, the two segments he pulled out, I'm proud of what we said there. Yeah. And as I said all along, if anything, was setting a high bar for return to make him look like a hero. And I do think it's a high bar for return. And kudos to him. And there wasn't anything that was a shot taken at him. I get how athletes internalize and make it
right
that way. And I understand that. But I actually, look, it's funny the things that my kids find interesting. My daughter this last week or yesterday, I guess it was, The biggest thing is I was a hero in big news when I said, no, Travis Kelce's in Argentina. And she, mind was
get the Taylor Swift updates.
Right. Yeah. And then I guess the change song lyrics, that was the biggest thing for my daughter, who's now 11. My son, the biggest thing that he was most impressed with is apparently he caught wind of the hype video.
Oh, really?
And he heard my voice on it. So like now he's like, oh, you know, appearances on YouTube, that, right. You know,
Sirius XM doesn't TikTok, rate with him.
I don't know. Who knows?
Sirius XM doesn't rate and that generation, no, unfortunately.
It's very generational. Yeah. I can tell you there's a lot of guys that are, you know, in their 50s that like, oh my God, Sirius XM, Jim and Pat, you know, that's not
I give you credit, son. Doc. You're multi-generational in your media appearances. So that's a good sign.
Hey, I love Barstool. Yeah. I mean, I love it engaging with those guys, you know, they're fun. I mean, yeah, I'm with it. I mean, had fun with the Kyler Murray return anyways by saying call to duty,
right? you're with the video game releases, keeping you hip.
I've never played Call of Duty. I have
not
no
a lot
idea.
Of time.
Yeah. I just read that it was being released is all, so I play on words. Call to duty for Kyler Murray, and he did well.
Yeah. Let's get to that Thursday night game. Big Bengals at Ravens. Couple key ones for the Bengals. Trey Hendrickson went out late with that knee hyperextension. I think they've confirmed the MCL that you saw in game. Sam Hubbard has an ankle he missed this week. Not clear for next week. I don't know if we had specific injury on video on him. But tell me about T. Higgins. Missed this week with a hamstring. I think he picked it up on practice last Wednesday. Any chance for him on a short week?
Well, the Bengals have the better end of the short matchup. And we'll get to the Ravens, right. I think. But T. Higgins, hamstring, speedster, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the only good news is Ja'Marr Chase, as we said all last week, he's fine. And I know you guys looked at me at the end of the first half saying, you sure he's fine? He doesn't have any catches.
He didn't look very comfortable.
He didn't
out
have
there.
Much out there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just scheme and double covering him. And
when there's no T, it's easy to bring another guy on. Ja'Marr Chase, yeah.
Yeah, and he got his numbers right by the end of the game. So Ja'Marr Chase, I think, is fine. No issues. Played through the back. It was sore, stiff. Good job by the medical staff. Got through it. T. Higgins, I think, is a no again. And Sam Hubbard is an unknown because we don't even know what kind of ankle. Didn't see video of it. Trey Hendrickson, I mean, I saw Ian Rappaport said hyperextension. To me, it looked like more of a MCL, possible bone bruise, as we said in game. Very unfortunate if you go to the Twitter timeline or you'll cut in the video here. The Texans player is falling off balance backwards.
Right.
I can't imagine that's intentional. He doesn't know he's back there. He's trying to catch himself. Instead, he rolls right up into Trey Henderson's knee, the outside of his knee, which is why we say MCL rather than hyperextension.
Happens all the time to O-linemen. It
rolled up on, it was the last play. It was just unfortunate right. The way it happened. I don't think it was dirty, but I also think Trey Hendrickson plays on Thursday in the short week. The Ravens, on the other side, I guess they're speculating some good news. We had worry that Marlon Humphrey tore his right Achilles, and Rap Sheet, our guy Rap Sheet, he's been on the podcast a few times here, is saying it's more of a lower calf strain, is his reporting now. Now, look, we don't report injuries. We do injury analysis. Rap Sheet reports injuries. So he's getting it from, I don't know, the team, John Harbaugh, the GM, the agent, the player. I don't know where his source is. No one, you know, reporter doesn't reveal his sources. But a source is telling him it's a lower calf strain. We're not deleting any tweets that look like Achilles to us. Look, let's hope it's partial. Let's hope it's lower calf. Any way you look at it, I don't think he's playing on Thursday.
Yeah.
And if you said he misses 4 weeks, short-term IR and returns, if you're a Ravens fan, take that. I mean,
he just made it back from the foot, and then he had a hamstring coming in. So it's just adding to the list for Humphrey this year.
But obviously lower calf makes everyone nervous, and everyone starts thinking Kevin Durant, and I don't wish ill will. I'd rather be, it's just analysis by video. I'd chalk it up to the 5% time that we're wrong. We don't delete tweets if it's not an Achilles, but we're not changing that opinion yet. And hopefully the reports are more accurate than the video analysis, and we'll take it. But you know, if they are going IR, they don't need to declare it yet for a few days. But the offensive line is probably the bigger issue for the Ravens now.
Yeah, I'll set the table on that. Ronnie Stanley left with a MCL high ankle combo last game. Kevin Zeitler, the right guard, with an MCL sprain. So those are two big ones going into the game. Already down another Morgan Moses, the right tackle, didn't play this week after playing a couple previous weeks. So kind of up in the air for him this week on a short week too.
Could be 3 out of 5 offensive linemen, and the Ravens stalled out late in the game, right? And they, now I don't know for sure. We'd have to go back and look at film. Did that pick six that was deflected ball, did that have to do with what part of the O-line and pressure? I don't know.
Yeah.
It could have. Certainly the injuries were mounting on the O-line, and they were probably –
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not that far, you know. I don't know if they dress 7 offensive linemen or 8. Typically, teams dress 7 or 8. And if you dress 7, the next injury would be a tight end playing left tackle or right tackle.
Patrick Guard, maybe.
Yeah.
Fullback turned lineman, whatever he is.
Yeah, whatever it is. But if they dressed 8, they still had one more. But of course, lots of shuffle there. But that's going to be the big issue. Ronnie Stanley's actually his right side. Not the chronic left ankle. It's his right knee.
Right. Good news that it's the opposite side, but still going to be a couple weeks for him, right?
He hurt that earlier this year, so hopefully it's not as bad. But I don't see it happening on a short week on Thursday. So that's going to be something to watch there this week. Ravens and Bengals.
Yeah, the end of that game was kind of wild. It seemed like the Ravens just couldn't run out the clock enough, and the pick six didn't help. You had a good stat for us before you hopped on the pod. I'll tee you up.
Let me try and find it here.
Pull it up. But I think the Ravens' success is getting the ball and leading wire to wire and being able to run out the clock. So
they dressed 7 offensive linemen.
So they were down to McCarty or a tight end blocking if there was another injury. So see, I told you Taylor wouldn't be able to stay off here. he can't help himself.
He's our fact checker in the background.
All right. So in the last 40 years, first 10 games of a season, the least amount of minutes trailing. The 1984 Dolphins, 14 some minutes trailing in 10 games. The 1998 Broncos, 27 minutes trailing in 10 games. The 2023 Ravens, 28 minutes, almost 29 minutes trailing in 10 games. the 1990 Giants, 44 minutes trailing in 10 games. The 2007 Patriots, 51 minutes trailing in 10 games. Which one of these is not like the other? Of those five teams, the other four were 10-0. And the Ravens, who is third on this list, are 7-3. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's always, they always throw a wrench in our algorithm too, because injury-wise, we're always want to go against them, and then they end up winning and covering and all this stuff.
Oh, but, yeah. The Ravens are maybe this is my karma for John Harbaugh and talking about coach speak. Look, once again, Coach Harbaugh is just doing his job.
Right.
It's his job to, you know, make sure the other teams that are scouting him are a little off balance. It's his job, so it's okay. But maybe it's karma, because early in the season, the Ravens were really banged up, and they kept seeing to win. Now, this week, they were healthy, and they ended up losing. Yeah. Now, their health goes the other way.
Their health's a yo-yo all season.
So maybe it's George Costanza opposite day when it comes to the Ravens for some of the field view and six score stuff.
Next up, I have our midseason futures update, but just want to get to the Monday night guarantee real quick. Haven't played yet. Broncos at the Bills. Big health advantage for the Broncos with the Bills defensive issues. Tre'Davious White out, Matt Milano. Ed Oliver's back, but Daquan Jones is out. And they also have Christian Benford out, Micah Hyde out. So big advantage for the Broncos. We won't tell you the pick here. Go sign up for Sick Picks, but it is a five-star pick. We're giving you your money back guaranteed. You sign up this week, and that pick does not hit, your money back guaranteed.
Oh, wow. So the free picks if it doesn't hit. Well, the Monday night last week, I know, worked out well.
Yeah, it worked out with the under on that game, right?
Yeah.
Under on the Chargers-Jets. So
what you're saying is if you sign up for Sick Picks for the week, if it doesn't win, your week is free.
And you get all our
guarantee, and you get all the picks anyways.
All the week 11 picks plus NBA stuff sprinkled in too. So
and the props and what have you.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Let's see what happens. You guys have been hot. The algorithm's been good in the last couple of weeks, and you know, I'm not in the picks business. We're just doing analysis. But when you combine the algorithms that we've set up and what makes sense, it's been pretty good. And these quote guarantees have done well so far. So keep rolling. Celebrating the guarantee paying off last week. You guys are doing it again. Go for it.
Yeah, it's nice when the dust settles and it's just a one-off game. It's hard to pick the whole 10-game slate, but then there's the Monday night or the Thursday, Sunday night games. Those, I feel like those historically we've done better when we're 3 out of 4 on the Raiders-Jets last night too. So I got 5 player props, 3 win totals. That's not all our futures, but just a couple I picked out for little week 10 update. Breece Hall, we had 100 under 875.5 rushing yards. He is at 521, aided by a couple big runs. So kind of,
we gotta be worried about that one
right up against that number too.
Because he you know, had the couple of big runs early, and now he's getting healthier. Although last night
he was 13 for 28.
Yeah, that's
because the Zach Wilson effect.
That stacked the box, yeah. And you know, whatever. So, but I think what I've always said about Breece Hall, and he's been ahead of schedule, is that second half of the season he'll be better, and he's been fine straight line in the beginning, and now I think he can be better. So that one is, he's outperformed it a little bit. We'll see. We're a little behind the sticks, so to speak, in terms of down and distance there.
I don't think they've had their bye yet, so that might help us a little bit. Kyle Pitts, they're going into bye next week. We had under 700.5 yards, receiving yards. He's at 419 after 10 weeks. So,
yeah, I mean, that one's, you know, a coin flip at this point in time. Although, you know, it's possible he gets healthier as he goes, but that's a coin flip.
That was definitely a hidden one, because everybody coming in the year is like, he was MCL sprain only, but he had surgery for it. And everybody's like, oh, look at Pitts in the first 5 weeks. That guy's not healthy out there. So good that he's looking a little better. I think we've taken,
he's making a little bit of comeback.
Yeah, we've taken some overs on his props recently. Yeah. So another one that might go right up against that number. Friend of the pod, OBJ, over 575.5 yards. He's at 258. Had one catch for a touchdown last week. So. Maybe get some momentum going.
He's been behind, but you know, he's had a couple of injury issues, so he's missed some time. So
yeah.
Maybe they need to throw to him in the fourth quarter for that other stat that we were talking about. No, I mean, the point is he should be healthy. And, you know, we're...
That was a long touchdown this week, right? It was a 40-yard slant.
Yep.
To do back in the day, so hopefully he's getting
better. Get down underneath and break it. Come on, Lamar. Just want to throw in, sorry, to the Ravens, but Dobbins is a lock already. They had the under 750 and a half, and the torn Achilles knocks him out at 22 yards. So,
yeah, I mean, at least there's one in the books, but sorry that he had to tear his Achilles to get there. So we won't even celebrate that.
Not rooting for the under, it's just the serious of the injury. So the other interesting one is Josh Allen under 575 and a half rushing yards. He's at 233, obviously pending tonight's game. But seems like he's rushing a little bit less, and then the AC joint sprain on the right shoulder is a continuing concern. So,
we're a little ahead of the numbers there.
Yeah, that was the basis of that bet, is that he's not going to risk running as much after that UCL injury last year. Hey there, listeners of the Sports Injury Central podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more. All designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, the perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroom, L-Y-F-E.com. So let's get to win totals real quick. Cardinals pulled out one yesterday. We had under 4.5 on their season win totals, so they went from 1 to 2 yesterday. Might have to sweat that one a little bit.
We're a little bit ahead of the numbers, but Kyler's back, and he's still not 100%, but, you know, we'll see.
Me and Taylor are combing through schedule trying to pick out some some upset wins that we might have to worry about. So we had only two that we think are lock wins for the Cardinals, so I think we're on
There's
the right
no
side of that
locks
one.
In the NFL.
Yeah, I know that. We think we can handicap and tout and all that stuff. Rams, we have under 6.5. They're at 3. Potentially Stafford coming back next week. We'll see if that picks up some steam on Wednesday with his practice report.
I mean, the old collateral, that's tough. But you know, when you release Brett Rippey and he started, and you signed Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz not in the mix to start this week?
It's a quick turnaround to start him.
Coming in on the bye week, yeah.
But you still need someone behind him, right? I mean, I'm just amazed that Rippian was released after he started a game. Like, okay, you move down the depth chart, you don't like him as much. But
put him back to the practice squad, give him some time.
They released him.
Cut ties completely.
I don't know. Maybe there's more to that story. Maybe they said, look, we're going to put you on the practice squad. And his agent and Rippian said, no, I don't want to do that. So they had no choice. Yeah, I mean, I think they said, I got other options, don't bother. By the way, so we'll see on Matthew Stafford, not a guarantee yet. And remember, the issue is accuracy.
Right.
But Matthew Stafford always plays through. He almost always, although he missed the last week and then obviously the bye.
That was the issue. Justin Fields is accuracy, so we'll see his status on his thumb coming into this week as well.
The mini bye, right?
This is the Thursday
game. I think Justin Fields plays finally. I mean, this is about the mark for him to return. Remember, it's outside of 4 weeks, but it's at 4 to 6 weeks. He's missed 4 games, but they didn't put him on IR. Why? Just for the chance that he could have played. But I do think it's Justin Fields' end of the Tyler Bagent mini era.
Right. Tyson Bagent, yeah.
Tyson Bagent. Tyson. I don't know. I get them all wrong.
I think his dad's had enough media appearances.
Is that the arm wrestler? His dad, yeah. Tyler? I don't know.
See. Hopefully they can turn that into a clothing line or something like that. Steelers is the last one I have to highlight. They came into the year completely healthy. Over 8.5 is what we had, and they're at 6-3 right now. So looking like good side of that one.
Yeah, a lot can happen. But
they're a weird one, like your Ravens stat. They're the team that has been outgained yardage-wise every single game.
But they still That's not sustainable. Kenny Pickett wasn't the better quarterback yesterday, but they pulled out a win. So keep on doing it, Steelers. Get some fantasy names real quick. Devin Achane, designated to return from IR. McDaniels said his knee injury was a sprain, not a tear, which is always red flags for us because sprain means a tear. You've taught us that. We didn't know that beforehand. I'm not going to claim that we did know that.
Okay, look, it's layman coach speak.
Right.
I don't even think he's trying to spin anything. He's just saying.
Well, it just makes it sound a little better to the fan base that, oh, he didn't have anything torn.
Well, he obviously did. Sprain, by definition, is a tear. Grade one is maybe microscopic, mm-hmm. partial. Grade two is macroscopic. You can see it, but partial. Grade three is complete tear. So he's saying it wasn't a complete tear. He's just saying it's a sprain, not a tear. But it's fine. I mean, I don't think remember when we thought there was a chance Etienne would not go on IR.
Right.
Yet he did, meaning that he should be ready pretty quickly here, including potentially this next week.
Another one, Jalen Waddle got to rest through the bye. He had the slight MCL in that Frankfurt game against the Chiefs. So he said he's feeling more like himself after the bye. So expecting him not to miss time.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins will be fine. Yes, with both those.
Keenan Allen I have on here with the left shoulder, mild AC joint component. You saw in game. He was able to come back and continue, even though he was in and out. We thought he was a decoy, and then all of a sudden he catches a touchdown late in that game.
He finished strong, right? Keenan always answers the bell, right? And the previous week, a lot was made of his when he took off his pads post-game Monday night and the huge bump that he got on his right shoulder, right? The huge bump from a significant AC joint. This is the other side, not nearly as bad. He did finish the game, maybe with injection. Team docs have been known to do that. But good on Keenan. Don't see him missing game time going forward. He certainly could miss some practice time. The Chargers need him, right, in terms of Josh Palmer, Mike Williams, et cetera. And 41-38.
Oh, that was a wild game. But you're telling us about the David Montgomery foot in, foot out thing.
I think we'll get
that. That was a big debate in the war room.
That was fun, but we'll get that. Okay, but before we do that, I think it's interesting that I got to give Coach Brandon Saley credit that he said, yeah, it's on me. I need to coach the defense better. But isn't he the same guy last week? See, this is what happens when our defense is healthy against the Jets. I mean, no, against the Jets offensive line. Yeah, right. You got some good pass rushers. That was interesting. But, all right, so here's the debate. And he tweeted.
I'll cut it in, cut in the video of him. Right, hugging the sideline.
So, in this very first view on the video, look, for people who don't listen to every podcast, look, I'm just a guy who watches football, okay? But I will tell you, on the sidelines of Charger games, many players have tapped me on the shoulder and said, what's that going to be on an overturn call? Because they're concentrating on their thing.
And
believe it or not, football players typically watch a lot of football, as in film. So D linemen watch O linemen in their film, but they don't necessarily watch as much TV football.
The broadcast,
And I watch a lot of TV football. So, and if you know the rules, and here's the interesting thing: the entire room thought I was crazy when you look at this first part of the video, and I said, that's not necessarily out. And you looked at it, and the entire room looked at me like I had five heads.
Yeah.
And I had to explain, it's not a straight shot down the sideline. The side of the shoe is rounded, and it has to do with angles. And then you saw another later view that was from a different angle, that perhaps there was a tiny speck of green, or was it the dark part of his shoe on the white line? To say the second part of it, and they let it stand because it was very hard to say, because that first view fools you. So one of the things we do in orthopedics, and this is the only reason I'm talking about it, not that I'm a refereeing expert, is that it has to do with angles. This is why you hear me all the time say, is there a second view?
Yep.
I say that more commonly than say slow it down or zoom in. Is there a second angle? Because you have to understand that when we see anything on TV, or we see anything on the screen, it's actually just two-dimensional. When we get two angles, we can stitch it together, the injury or the inbounds, out of bounds, or whatever, pass complete, not complete. You need more than one angle. This is why x-rays, you never get one angle. For example, if this is the shoulder joint and this is the socket, is this, is it in joint or out of joint? Well, it looks like you can't tell.
Yeah.
Because is this in joint? I mean, it can be super.
Can't tell the forward or backwards.
Here you're not, right?
Yeah.
Or here you're in joint, and now you know you're in, right? This is just overly simplified. This is why you need multiple angles. And yes, that first one looked like he was out by a mile, but it's like, no. So at least I was able to convince the war room that I didn't have five heads, maybe just a very big head, bigger than normal dome, but at least it wasn't five heads anymore. Cause I know you all looked at me like you're crazy.
I'm
like,
it looked like it was clearly out.
I definitely did 100%. I was arguing with you. I mean, I looked worse when it actually was official.
I'm just saying, like, it could have been called either way, and I could have understood if they overturned
it. Blew it dead on the field.
All I was saying is that this first angle, that's not conclusively out, even though it really looks like it. That just has to do with, you know, is this in or out? Well, I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
depends on your perspective.
Perspective and angles. And a lot of times, you know, I have to say referees get a bad name because you go, that holding was obvious. But if you know that the referee calling that holding was on the backside of the play,
and
is blocked by the body, you know, because it's not like all seven referees looking everywhere. They each have their own responsibility. All six referees, they all have their own responsible areas in terms of where they are. You know,
I have some Saints information on Carr and Thomas. Carr, they said his shoulder checked out fine. This is the coach speaking. He remains in concussion protocol. And Michael Thomas' knee is fairly significant, but not season ending.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. That. With this, the two angle thing, I was thinking of Michael Thomas because that came up in game. Is like, at first it looked like ribs, just the one angle that he got hit, and then the second angle kind of showed the knee tweak when he gets hit. So we had multiple angles on that.
Yeah, the first angle was like, oh, ribs. Oh, that's a rib shot. He's going to get checked for ribs, and that's it. But then you're right, when you showed me the second angle, I was like, oh no, that's knee, left knee, and worry about an MCL, possible meniscus on top of it. Is it a higher grade MCL or meniscus? I think what we said on the three Saints injuries, we were saying in terms of significance, the best one is Derek Carr concussion and hit on the shoulder. Reports early of AC joint, what he had before in the season. But with the bye week, I think Carr will be fine. Next was Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. likely to miss some time with his knee. And worse might be Marshawn Lattimore right. with a high ankle. So that remains to be seen and sorted out.
Sorry, all you Jameis fans. I know you want his two touchdown million yards and one half, but it looks like it's gonna be Carr after the bye. no quarterback controversy going in. Want to touch on that every Sunday night, every time the Jets are on national TV, Aaron Rodgers is the huge storyline. He's walking in carrying a bag. He's said, I think the latest thing is he's targeting mid-December. As an aside, I would just want to say it would be incredible. I know you have the promo going with Kevin Walsh on TikTok. Be incredible if he does come back for that two. I think you know the details better, but the two sideline passes. That game is December 28th at the Browns, so that'd be crazy if.
Is that December 28th? I forget. Okay,
that would be is Aaron Rodgers coming back for that game?
Well, since we're giving away sideline passes, yes.
Yeah. We knew it all along.
No, look. I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers didn't throw again. I mean, but it's so funny. He carried a bag. I mean, come on. I mean, whatever. He did say to Melissa Stark, I think, that he's targeting mid-December.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's good to have goals and mm-hmm. good to have targets. Think back to when this first started. The number one question. And the number one question I addressed on Pat McAfee when I went on the next day is his career done? He's 40. I'm like, no, his career is not done. I literally said, I guarantee he's coming back next season. And we did talk about how there's a sliver of hope to come back late this season. If the Jets can get to the playoffs, he can. And that's kind of where we're at. But here's the thing. Mid-December is not realistic right now. It's good to have goals. Why is it not? He says he's been 50% weight bearing on a treadmill. He also said he can't lift his heel off the ground.
He said that was the key to get to the tippy toe. It's like,
he can't get to a tippy toe on one side.
I would think so.
Okay. So that's the thing. He's throwing, but he's all flat footed. So he's getting there. He's doing really, really well. I mean, could he be an immobile quarterback in mid-December? Maybe you put up some protection on, but do you really want an immobile quarterback behind that current Jets offensive line? Look, ironically, as it sounds, that December, whatever, 28th game, Cleveland, that we're doing that promotion with Kevin Walsh, or TikTok guy. We got to know Kevin because he's in my Scott Fishbowl Fanta division league, or division, whatever you call it. And I was trying to be cool. I was just interested in what he was doing. Yeah. We struck up a little friendship, and now we have this little promotion thing. He's a good guy. He kills it on TikTok. I don't even know how it all works. We have Dr. Moss, who helps, Brian Moss, TikTok bone doc, that helps us.
He's great on our TikTok for sure.
He runs our TikTok. He does a great job, but it's just a different world, you know, that TikTok world. I don't understand it, but he does, and Brian Moss does, and TikTok bone doc, and the 6-score TikTok. And it's fun. It's interesting, whatever. Oh, that was the other thing the kids liked, is because I guess they went on my computer once and they went on TikTok, and because I've looked at 6-score, it popped into their feed and like, oh, hey, you're like I'm
cutting up clips something from this podcast, posted on there. So
yeah, something like that. But Aaron Rodgers, I do think it's possible. I've been saying it for a while, that he returns this season. Mid-December seems a little aggressive, since he can't get up on one foot yet and push off on his toe yet. But late December, January remains in the realm. The key is, can the Jets remain in the realm of possibilities? That's starting to be the bigger part of the equation here. Their defense is lights out. I mean, their defense is really good.
Yeah, you mentioned something to us earlier this week, that 46 quarterbacks have started in the NFL up to this point. It's a running total. I think the highest was, 2022 with 60, I think it was. So just have three on the list down here. Teams right around 500. Jets 4-5. Colts are 5-5. And the Vikings are 6-4. But which injury replacement quarterback has impressed you the most? Dobbs, Minshew, or Zach Wilson?
We're actually up to 49 new starting quarterbacks now. 49. With Josh Dobbs starting in Minnesota. Now, we're counting him twice, right? Sure. Arizona and Minnesota. And then Kyler Murray, first-time starter.
Right.
Right? And Tommy DeVito, first-time starter. He's come in at the end of games, but it's first-time starter. So that's 49 now.
66. 2022.
Okay. But you have to understand, late season, there's a lot of we're out of it, let's try a guy. And so there's a late season acceleration of that. So who's the best replacement?
Who's impressed you the most? We'll just say that.
I would have to say it's Dobbs. Just because of the coming in, not knowing names, this, that, the other, the quick pickup. And he's won two games. So I would have to say Dobbs. I mean, Minshew's been around. And who's the other one that you said?
Zach Wilson. I'm just picking long-term replacements that kind of aren't changing going forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Josh Dobbs, right? Two places. He had a short timeline to learn the offense in Arizona. The results haven't been the same. He's won in two games. He's won twice as many games as he won in Arizona, right?
He won one last year in Tennessee as well, when Tannehill got hurt. He's known to do it.
A smart guy. I always said brain more important than the shoulder in a quarterback,
right? Since we're talking about TikTok, he's winning over a lot of fans on TikTok because he's embraced the creed. Like, there's like a Creed TikTok meme going around, and he's splicing up everything with that.
No, don't try and sing it.
I wasn't gonna try to sing it. So I'm glad Taylor did.
I'm just glad I've actually heard that song before. There you go. Know?
Creed, yeah. I want to real quick, T. Higgins, Zach Taylor said it's very hard for him to play Thursday, just like we said.
There you go.
All right, so no T. Higgins as expected.
A couple matchups we're looking at next week. Giants at Washington. Right before we hopped on, he said Washington can't be laying 10 points. They are at home, Doc. -9.5. You're not trusting that against the Giants?
I don't know. Look, I love Coach Rivera, right? I mean, he's a friend, the whole deal. Now, my whole thing is they dumped their two pass rushers,
yeah.
And they're going to lay 9.5. That just seems like a lot. I don't know.
Sam Howell's leading the league in passing yards. So.
Well, we haven't done all the injury analysis yet, but we'll have to see. But let me tell you, Andrew Thomas rose from the dead.
Yeah, it was good news that he can come back, right?
I'm not trying, but like,
oh yeah,
the man got carted off.
I think he walked off the field and then got carted. I might be mixing that up with. I might be mixing that up with Carr, but
Carr walked off the field and then was carted. But I thought I saw that.
Don't make the big boys walk. Take the cart. It's easier.
I mean, look, this is clearly
that didn't happen a lot in your career, Doc. I'm guessing that you didn't cart a guy to the locker room and then he'd come right back in.
I don't know who would be ridiculed more. If a player were carted off and then returned to the game, I don't know if it would be the player by his teammate saying, WTF, you took a cart and now you're back in the game, or me, why'd you put him on a cart? It might've been me. I might've, you know, why are you overreacting and carting the guy off? If he could actually come back in the game, he can walk his ass off the field. You know, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the details there, but I did see that. And it's not the first time it's happened before. Right. So I'm not calling Andrew Thomas off. He just came back from the hamstring, got rolled up, the kind of knee MCL high ankle kind of deal.
He did come back
to the game. So good on him. I just think it's interesting that you're carted off and return. I can cite at least a handful of examples in the last few years. Health and safety error. I get it. You're not sure. Cart him off to be sure. I understand it. But I can tell you that if you ask any old school players, there'd be a lot of eyebrow raising on that.
It's not
but like, Thomas, he's a vet. He's fine. I'm not banging on him.
It's not like training camp where the cart's the easiest way to get to the facility. They're not walking 100 yards to the sideline. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I told this story a long time ago. But one time we were near the Oakland Coliseum stairs. But to get to the locker room was two flights of stairs. To get to X-ray was like four flights of stairs. Man. And our right tackle went down. I've written about it, Von Parker, with a broken ankle. And we're like, dude, we're not getting four flights of stairs. So we had to cart him, right? And to get out in Oakland, so the 50-yard line of the home sideline, and we were close to there, is where both teams come out of in the old Oakland Alabama Coliseum.
No, well.
And to get out by a ramp, it's the visitor sideline. So we were near the Oakland sideline. We had to get in a cart and then drive along the outside, you know, having fans say and throw stuff. And then to the 50-yard line on our side, then up the hill.
Yeah.
And the cart stalled out.
Because
I guess it wasn't charged all the way. And the guy's calling. And then he's in full uniform, just me with him. And the cart guy goes, oh, let me go. And he runs to go get another cart. As we just parked halfway up the ramp. He comes back with another cart. We move him over to the other cart because we have to get him over to X-ray. And literally, we are outside the stadium. We are literally outside the stadium in Oakland.
Yeah.
And you know there's a bunch of people there that don't have tickets and they're just hanging out
out in the parking lot. It's a great tailgate.
And literally we're driving around the outer ring to get to the other side. And people are looking at us, what is going on here? And the guy's beeping and honking. And then the best thing is there was a lineup of windbreaker security guards trying to turn in their jacket to get paid for the day. And they're blocking the road. And we're like honking, hey. I mean, honestly, it was like a Far Side cartoon, but whatever.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride to the X-ray room.
we all survived. It was fine.
Last game I have that we're eyeballing is the Arizona at Houston. Houston played pretty well through their secondary issues. Seemed like the defense didn't have a tough time shutting down the Bengals, but the offense kind of was more impressive in that game, holding serve with the Bengals. So interesting one for that one. Arizona, not a whole lot of new injuries, just tracking Kyler and James Conner looked pretty good in this one game back.
No, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Houston's CJ Stroud. I mean, he's leading the league in passing or something? I mean, he's
second. Sam Howell's first, and Stroud is second.
That's pretty good.
Tua
that's
right behind him. So,
yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, who do you want to give the Beast of the Week to, Doc? I got Deshaun Watson coming back from the ankle, Keenan Allen coming back from the shoulder. TJ Hockenson took a beating all day long, had rib cartilage coming into the game, said, oh, no doubt I'm playing. He played, had 11 catches, 134, and a touchdown, but looked like he was feeling every hit.
No, those are all good ones. And, of those three, I might say Deshaun Watson because he got better.
Right.
And he put to rest he doesn't want to play through injury stuff. His passing numbers got better. He was clearly hampered in key rush. So I might say Deshaun Watson. But I probably would add one in there from the war room. We saw Tank Dell take a big shot that easily could have knocked him out of the game. And
he's a smaller.
For a guy named Tank, he's not, what you'd picture.
Biggie Smalls, yeah.
Yeah, I'd throw him in the mix there too. I mean, just in terms of production, maybe Deshaun Watson, but Tank Dell took a hit where easily I thought, well, maybe he, ribs, this, that, he's not coming back. He's not a big guy.
He had a concussion earlier this year as well.
And he made it back and he still played and finished the game. So maybe Tank Dell, Deshaun Watson, somewhere in between, one for a star quarterback and one for one of the little guys, right?
There you go.
Good for him, and they both helped their teams to upset victories. So, good on them.
Yeah, just want to mention Sick Insights is where you can go. I know Nico Collins missed with the calf, so we'll have the latest on him going into this week because I know that's big for fantasy and Texans in general. So,
yeah, the Texans seem to be just add water, throw the next receiver in there.
Noah Brown right off the Cowboys. Cowboys released him for nothing. Texans picked him up, said thank you, and plug him right in. He's new Nico Collins.
Yeah, I mean,
Devin Singletary, 150 yards.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the Bengals? We'll see. They got a short turnaround now, we'll see. But lots of interesting stuff. That's why they play the games. The ball's not round. And go to Sick Insights because I think that's your best place. If you're trying to set your lineup before Thursday and you're trying to figure out projections, look, you can try and scroll through Twitter. You can try and do all this stuff, but it's just scrolling to get there. If you go to Sick Insights at sicscore.com, that's essentially what it is. It's just a feed of the top 20 or so issues that you might have to contend with. If your player is not on the list, you can just put it in the search bar. You can sign up for notifications too for your fantasy team, et cetera. Those are all some of the free features at Sports Injury Central. And, we're getting to that crunch time of the season, make or break for fantasy, right? I'm already broken.
I was going to say, your Scott Fish team doesn't come up a whole lot with after losing Aaron Rodgers. You got Deshaun back playing for you. Gardner Minshew trying, so but you drafted Boomer Bust, and I think we know Trida that you're on this.
I'm on the bust side, although there was a point during the season where I had no quarterbacks in a super flex league.
Now you have to two, and you did have Heinicke and not anymore.
Oh, and Heinicke, so. the final note there was a little bit of hiding behind health to get to Heinicke. Desmond Ridder, we're checking out his head. Let's give him a run here. Now it's the other way. Back to Desmond Ridder. Yes, it's a mild hamstring. I think Heinicke was available to come back in the game, but they said, let's go with Desmond Ridder. So it's Ritter's time again to see what he can do.
It is kind of funny. I listening to Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal on the way in, friend of the pod, Cousin Sal. But he's making the point. He's like, when Heinicke went down, he's like, oh, man, who are they going to put in? And he's like, oh yeah, Ridder. He wasn't hurt. he just got benched.
Yeah, no.
I think we all kind of did that in the war room. It was like, oh, who's their third?
Yeah. Well, Cousin Sal is a great friend of the podcast. He's been on. I'd call Bill Simmons. I've never met Bill before, but he's called, shouted me out in his podcast. People told me. You guys probably know who this is, but he said this is a couple years ago. He said, that guy, he's this doctor. He's like Quincy. You guys don't even know what Quincy is. Like Jack Klugman back in the day, he was a medical examiner. And somehow, in the end, he figured out
put all the pieces together.
You know, you might have to Google. It might even not even be on Google because Quincy's so old. But Bill Simmons a lot closer to my age than your age, so he made a Quincy reference, so he's a friend too.
There you go.
All right, back next week for more. Go to Sports Injury Central for the rest. I know you have some special contests and hookups and guarantees, and then that giveaway for the Aaron Rodgers return game giveaway. can we start billing it as that? No, I don't know.
People will start scratching their heads saying, if we're buying in, then everyone's buying it, I guess.
It's just funny how it moves. And then even, Megan Rapinoe, who, look, I had friends, I had people and media guys who were at that game in San Diego, this NWSL.
NWSL, yes.
Finals. I don't know. I was off the grid. I didn't know that they were even in town. Hey, Megan Rapinoe just went down non-contact, and I called you guys to get video. And then we said, unfortunately, very distance view, but right Achilles. And that's been confirmed now because she said, quote, I'm going to have the Aaron Rodgers surgery. Right now, it's probably the Tommy John surgery. Yeah. Now.
Don't want to get political, but it's probably the only time those two are in each other's sentences. It might be a little far end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry, a little convoluted there.
Yeah, I was going to say a little convoluted. Well, we stay away from politics and different things. If you want, she wants to call it the Aaron Rodgers surgery, so be it, kind of thing. All right. Thanks again. On to week 11 after the Monday Night Football game tonight. Enjoy. And we're on the Believe Network. I think we're going to make some more appearances on Believe this week as well. Shout out to Eric there at Believe. Thanks for setting all that up. And we'll see you again.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.